This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob McDonnell is the Attorney General of the Commonwealth of Virginia and a very good friend of this program. He joins us live on the long line from his office in Richmond. Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Coy, Happy New Year. Great to be on with you again.
Happy New Year to you. I hope your Christmas holidays and New Year celebration went well and all the family is good and healthy and happy.
I had a nice time. I've spent a lot of time on the road last year, so it was very nice to take a week with, had four out of my five kids home and had a very nice time, and hope everybody in your listening area had a little time to rest, relax, and refresh going into the new year.
Let me start by asking you about the news that was just released yesterday and making headlines today. Former senator from Virginia, former governor, George Allen coming forward and in an exclusive interview there with Bob Lewis of the AP, telling him, I am not going to come back to Virginia and seek the gubernatorial nomination for the 2009 election, next year's election for governor. Big news. We talked to Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch yesterday afternoon, and he said, well, it's not that big a news. We sort of thought he wouldn't come back, but I was one of those folks who thought he would come back, that it might be a decision that he would make. He had certainly intimated that that was something he was seriously considering. Tell us what you can about this this story.
I think George Allen has been the most effective reform governor in the last half a century. He had a dramatic impact on Virginia public policy as governor in the mid-90s, and we're still enjoying the fruits of his leadership today. When you look at crime being down and welfare rolls being down and better standards of accountability in our public schools and many other things that George Allen was able to get done as governor, he was truly an extraordinary public figure and leader. And of course, as your listeners know, he's from the Albemarle area and served for a number of years in the United States Congress and the state House of Delegates, and then of course on to the United States Senate after the governor. So he's had 25 plus years of distinguished public service and trying to raise three kids at the time, and I think he's has made the decision for what appears to be personal and family reasons, and he called me yesterday to advise me of his decision, and we had a very nice talk, and I just have terrific respect for George Allen. I think he clearly could have been governor again. He's a great leader and a guy with big ideas and a real enthusiastic supporter of the Commonwealth of Virginia. And so I think George Allen will continue to be involved in public life in some way. I know he's an entrepreneur and is doing some things with businesses in Northern Virginia and around the country now. But I think we'll see more of George Allen in the future.
We're talking with Bob McDonnell, the Attorney General of Virginia. Some of the news reports had it that you had said, if, you know, George Allen comes back, I'm not going to step down. I still want to be governor. You have said publicly that this is something that you would be interested in pursuing in the future, a run for governor. Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling is quoted as saying that he would have deferred to George Allen and would have stepped down. But can you tell us about that, how accurate those parts of the news were?
Well, it probably doesn't surprise you that there are always some inaccuracies in the news.
Oh, yes.
But what I had said, when I was certainly hoping to support George Allen for President of the United States, I thought he had the capacity and the gifts and the speaking ability and the encouragement and the enthusiasm to do that. So, for the last year and a half or so, as the senator was running for re-election, I had indicated that while I was looking forward to having productive years as Attorney General, that I had an interest in running for governor. But I had not commented on what other people's plans or intentions might be. And up until about 3 weeks ago, there was nobody formally in the race for governor. Of course, now there are two Democrats that have formally signaled their intention to run. So I hadn't made any comments about a potential candidacy by George Allen. I obviously was waiting to see what he might do, because I've got enormous respect for George Allen. But I have said that I'm planning to run, and that is still my intent. And over the next months, as I finalize some of the things that I want to do here in the Attorney General's office, you know, I'll have some announcements probably after the presidential election. But the focus now is getting things done, solving problems, getting results as Attorney General, and, you know, I'll work on those things in the future.
My guest is Bob McDonnell. He is the Attorney General of Virginia, and we're honored to have him on the phone. If by at any point you would like to join this conversation, dear listener, you have a question or a comment for Bob McDonnell, we look forward to hearing from you. Just pick up your phone. It's 977-1070. You mentioned the presidential election, POTUS 08, coming up here in November, and we are in full primary swing now. I was one of the millions of folks who stayed glued to their television sets last night, waiting to see how this was going to come out. I was shocked that they called it so early for McCain. At, like, I think 12% of the precincts reporting, they called it for McCain, but they didn't call it for Hillary Clinton until well into the evening. What were your thoughts? I'm sure you were, like the rest of us, were watching those numbers come in. What were your thoughts on New Hampshire?
I think it's not surprising on the Republican side that McCain and Romney were at the top. Both have strong relationships with the citizens of New Hampshire. McCain won there in 2000, Romney, of course, being in a neighboring state. They were both expected to do well. I think the bigger surprise is on the Democrat side, where it appeared from some of the previous polls that Obama had a 10% plus lead, and yet Hillary Clinton pulls it out by a couple of percent. I think that was probably the bigger surprise, and maybe some the last couple of days of her campaigning and some of her emotional appeals to the voters may have made the difference. But, you know, there's so much hoopla primary by primary that seems to engender, you know, predictions from pundits that that's going to be the pivotal event in the campaign, and I think those are all vastly overstated. I think this is going to be a longer campaign for the nomination. You might see a couple people fall out, but I think certainly well through the February 12th Virginia primary, I think you're going to have some robust competition. Obviously, Obama and Huckabee have both been surprises in the early going, but this thing's got a long way to go. I think it's the most wide open presidential sweepstakes in 50 years, and I believe that it'll take a while before Americans know. So I think you've got to be in it for the long haul here, and not think a candidate's hopes rise and fall on one primary.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is at this point. Who knows? It's still, everything's up in the air. We have all different winners in the last two primaries, and it's way too early to say, but they're definitely off and running. I thought it was interesting that Hillary Clinton said that New Hampshire helped her find her voice, and my wife said, yeah, her voice is anything that will get a vote.
Well, everybody has their opinions, and certainly Senator Clinton is perhaps one of the more polarizing figures in the race. Everybody has some opinion on her, some strongly positive and negative. And I think, we have a very vibrant American democracy right now in both parties, at least at this presidential level. There is obviously four or five candidates who could potentially win on the Republican side. And I think this is good for America. I mean, the turnout in Iowa was certainly high. I hadn't seen the final turnout numbers in New Hampshire. But, one of the tragedies of modern American democracy is the lack of participation. It's becoming too much of a spectator sport with a very low turnout, consequently contrasted with, Iraq elections, where you have a 70% turnout from people who have never tasted freedom and democracy. They have overwhelming response. And we really need to have democracy reinvigorated and have higher turnouts. And to the degree that these candidates and their competition in the marketplace of ideas is producing additional interest in elections, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, just for the record, the New Hampshire primaries turned out over 500,000 voters, which is about 60% of registered voters, which was
an absolute blowout,
you know, record there for the New Hampshire primary. Just amazing. Before we take a very quick break, and we want to talk about the General Assembly session, of course, that started today, just almost 5 hours ago, they gaveled in there. Let me ask you about another election coming up this November as well. We'll go to the polls and choose a president. We will also choose a new United States senator to represent Virginia. And it's shaping up. Mark Warner, of course, has said that he would like the Democratic nomination. And Jim Gilmore has stepped forward a few months ago and said he's interested in the Republican nomination for that race. And now we learned just a few days ago that Delegate Bob Marshall is also interested in the Republican nomination. Your thoughts on this contest, which is just beginning to take shape?
Well, I think Senator Warner surprised some people by declaring his intention to step down. He's been quite a public servant now for 30 years. Of course, in fact, he chose your backyard there in Charlottesville to announce his retirement a number of months ago. I think, you know, it's just so early. I think people are so focused now on these presidential races because we've had such a heavy dose of it. There's very little focus on this. I would assume that the final lineup would be two former governors running against one another who served back to back. I think that will be quite a contrast between two philosophies of government, two very different records of achievement as governor. And obviously, I like the Republicans, the Republican candidate to win, and we'll have to work hard to make our case down the stretch. Mark Warner, of course, left office as a governor with high popularity ratings, but of course he's not had really have any scrutiny over his record as governor, and that's what the crucible of the electoral cycle and competing views. That record will become fair game for discussion. So I think that'll be a competitive race. But it's just so early compared to the presidential race. There's been virtually no focus on it.
We're talking with Bob McDonnell. He is the Attorney General of Virginia, and we're going to take a very quick break. When we get back, let's talk about your legislative agenda and the 2008 General Assembly session here in the Commonwealth. My guest is Bob McDonnell, the Attorney General of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Just a few hours ago, the 2008 Virginia General Assembly session got underway. Legislators, of course, have gathered in Richmond in a recently renovated meeting space there. Just beautiful. Give us an idea, if you can, about this session, perhaps some of the essential elements of your legislative agenda that you have brought to the table.
Well, sure, Coy. I think, obviously, a budget year like this and with a fiscal downturn of some degree and $500 million plus deficit, the budget, as in most years, will dominate a good portion of the legislators' time and prioritizing where to spend that $75 billion of tax revenue every 2 years will take some time. I've got a number of things that I'm pursuing this year, and I think, too, this is a big issue this session. The General Assembly will be mental health reform and immigration reform. I've joined with the governor, and we've put together a package of ideas to reform our mental health system, which has taken on some new urgency after the Virginia Tech shooting, particularly dealing with the civil commitment process and access to records in the interest of public safety. And so we expect broad bipartisan support for those concerns. Combating criminal illegal aliens is a significant issue in Virginia. Those who come here illegally and then commit crimes against Virginia citizens, I think they need to be detained and deported if they're convicted. And so we've got a number of bills in that will do that. We've got several consumer protection bills, and particularly dealing with the growing problem of products that are counterfeited from Asia or Europe coming to Virginia, and we've got to increase the penalties and investigative tools for that. We've got some bills to tighten up the laws and domestic violence that the governor and I are both supporting, and then a couple other things which are fairly which are new for me this year. One is to mandate a prisoner reentry system. We've got to slow down the revolving door of justice and make sure that people stay out of prison to the maximum degree possible with some solid reentry programs. I've got some bills that come out of the Michael Vick case to improve our laws dealing with animal fighting, to try to end that as a sport and assign greater criminal responsibility for people that spectate, produce, finance animal fighting. And then we've got some accountability of government issues, which I think are important to dealing with the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries to increase the responsibilities and accountability there. And then to have very clear guidelines for open input from the public before a regulation is put on the books. We've got 24,000 pages of regulations in Virginia Coin. That's quite a few. We're trying to cut a number of those out, but we think there are going to be greater public input prior to regulations going on the books. So those are some of the things that I'm working on, and undoubtedly there will be a number of others that the General Assembly will introduce that we will weigh in on at some point.
Attorney General Bob McDonnell is my guest. Honored to have him here as a regular monthly guest on the program. What are your thoughts on Governor Kaine's efforts and others to close the gun show loophole here in Virginia? And for folks who don't know, that basically means that you can go to a gun show and buy a gun without a background check. And if I'm not mistaken, the origin of that is the government didn't want to if you wanted to buy a gun from your cousin, for example, the government didn't want you to have to go get a background check. So they sort of have treated these gun shows as if you're just buying from a friend. Part of the challenge, though, is some of the folks who sell at gun shows are more like traveling stores. What are your thoughts on this whole idea of this what is called the gun show loophole?
Well, I think you've pointed out a couple of appropriate things, and we're really talking about regulating the private sales of firearms. We've got a regimen in place for the public sales that take place at gun dealers and so forth, but the trading of a gun in someone's private living room or the parking lot of a gun show or any other private venue, we have not regulated because of obviously our obvious affinity for the Second Amendment. But we also have clear laws that say you cannot sell to anybody who is disqualified. For instance, a convicted felon or a mental incompetent, you cannot sell a gun to them. That's already a criminal offense. So I'm not sure we need to layer another part of another layer, have more bureaucracy for firearms transactions in Virginia. There's really no evidence from law enforcement to say that the sales of guns in the parking lot at a gun show ends up with a great degree of criminals with guns in their hands. There's just not that evidence. And, the issues that we're trying to resolve regarding the Virginia Tech shooting have to do with mental health, not really with access to firearms. The one issue that came up there, Governor Kaine and I worked together and issued an executive order to make sure that people that are under involuntary mental health treatment can't get access to firearms. So I'm not sure that that's necessary, but there'll be a good debate about that in the General Assembly.
Bob McDonnell is the Attorney General of Virginia. It's always a great honor to talk to you, and good luck. I know you and your team are going to be quite busy over the next couple months.
Well, we are. It's a great privilege to serve in this office. The General Assembly does great work in 60 days every year and then gets out of town, and I'm sure there'll be some good new policies affected this year.
We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Thanks, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.